Might be Curtis's.
Talk radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah,
we're back.
Are y'all back?
We're back.
I'm with you, Gary. I got the wine right here.
Pour me a glass, Gary.
A sophisticated episode of Talking Sports with the 12 Minutes actually kicking off for you on this Wednesday, September the 16th. We are having a fantastic opportunity, fantastic day. I do say so myself. Happy birthday to Gina, Rob, by the way. Wasn't it yesterday or something like that her birthday actually kicked in?
Yep, yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Nice, yeah. Show her some love as well, as always. But let's kick this off, man. Hopefully we'll have a better night than the Clippers. But woo! No, I'm joking.
Everybody going down on the Clippers.
I knew that was the juiciest one. Oh my goodness, man!
Stephen A. Smith, Dame Lillard, C.J. McCollum, Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Man, no one was safe.
Oh my goodness, man.
America, we got a lot to talk about with that. But let's introduce the fellas here. We are on Zoom, if you will. Let's check in with JQ. How you feel? He's happy. We're back. Big Tim.
Oh, man.
What's up, bro?
I'm excited, bro. I'm good, man. We're back. Finally. Stop being ridiculous. I just hope that my boys will be able to get reinstated. We'll see. With Wyatt Davidson, John Wade, but it's hard to watch it when you don't have a skin in the game. Like, I love football, but when you don't have anybody playing that you're rooting for, it's hard to be really invested. So I'm super happy that they finally got their itch together and got back into the swing of things. I think the Pac-12 will be behind them shortly, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing now is the Pac-12 is looking at possibly coming back in October now too. And now the Mountain West as well considering it. So a lot of other conferences are considering getting back in the game right now.
The Pac-12, we have a lot more problems than trying to come back to football right now.
That's true.
All the states in the West are eating a ton of smoke. And all the teams in the West are looking at millions and millions and millions of homeless people. Football is the last thing we're going to do in the Pac-12. Absolutely last thing we're going to do.
Curtis, I may say that it may provide a slight kind of just distraction, if you will, to try to get something else to do. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, make light of everything that's happening over there, but just, you know, again, just – having something for them to watch or, you know, do, that would be something a little different too. But let's check in with Rob Ford, man. How you doing, Rob? What's going on, man?
Feeling really good, man. Had a nice smoked soft shell crab tonight, man. Ooh, it was beautiful too.
You have asparagus with that too? Yeah, come on, man.
No, man, you know, I had to mix it up. I had a little corn, had some okra and some potatoes with it. Ooh.
Okay.
Wow, that sounds good.
Yeah, some fried oysters with some brie cheese on top too.
Man, I got to join Delta, boy. Y'all be doing it big. I'm missing out. I need to get on part of that Delta plan.
God, man. It's been like almost 20 years. We're still talking about that Redfish Grill that we had, Rod, with the barbecue oysters and the bread pudding. That was still one of the better dinners, man. So, you know, whenever we can finally get out of this pandemic, that's another thing we got to do too. So, good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
As always.
Be ready.
Gary, what's up, bro? How you feeling, man? West Coast, man.
No, I'm feeling good. You know, it's weird not having my buddy next to me, but I think he's on the air. You on, Curtis?
He's on. I heard him.
Yeah, I'm on.
All right. Well, how are you doing tonight? How was that steak dinner you had?
He was talking about his asparagus, all that. You know, I like my steaks raw. I like my steaks raw and bloody. And I have my steak raw and bloody. I'm in West Yellowstone. Been going to the National Park, Yellowstone National Park. And the flip side of this, I've been out of the smoke of the West. It is really bad in Portland, the air quality. And here it's not as bad, but you can tell, you can still see the haze of the smoke all the way out here in Montana and Wyoming.
Wow.
But, yeah, I had a rare steak dinner, the big, bad steak potato, real hot buttered green beans, and enjoying being in the park. Saw the guy, saw Old Faithful, did his thing.
Okay. Nice.
Nice.
I'm going to have to, again, you're still my boy, but, you know, again, you said raw steak. Is that, I mean, not even a little, like, cooked anything with that, or that's just?
No. He likes it sliced right off the cow, thrown on the grill for one, you know, a minute, flipped on the other side. It's still flinching a little bit, and throw it on the plate.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well. I'm really glad you're a boy. Yeah, I mean, I got it well done, that bad boy, man.
Yeah, right. I got to go to medium well for me.
Medium rare for me, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Medium rare. Not like Curtis. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
The best size you can have steak, too, is asparagus.
Oh my God. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
If it's not LSU, it's asparagus, you know, what is it?
Hey, America, let's have some fun here. Let's again throw out the numbers for those that want to reach out to you boys. As always, the numbers to call into the show every single week. It's always the same, 424-243-9519. That's the number. Follow us on Twitter, at the Twitter, as the kids are saying, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And always, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th men. You will find us in that arena as well. All right, gentlemen, you know what we're going to talk about right out the gate, the epic collapse. Excuse me, I'm saying collapse. I'm trying to combine words here, the Clippers. And it was funny because I was talking before to the wifey. I was like, you know what? If I'm the Clippers, I hate Game 7 because you don't even want to get to a Game 7 because – anything can happen in Game 7, and that's exactly what happened. And we're going to go around the room here. I do want to ask you if you guys think that Dwight Rivers' job is in trouble too, man, because I don't know if that's just him or just they just ran into, like, just a buzzsaw or that he played bad. I mean, everything that just could have went wrong did go wrong. But we'll start with you, Rob, if you will, and then get to JQ and then around the corner as we always like to do. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, epic failure, as you mentioned, Andre, by the Clippers. Unbelievable. And obviously you got tippy hat to the Denver Nuggets. Let's not lose sight of that. Jamal Murray, big game last night, 40 points.
Jokic,
man, unbelievable. What, 16 points, 22 rebounds, 12,
crazy.
13 assists. Some of the passes he made in that game were unbelievable. He's like a point center. And, Gary just demonstrated over the head pass. I mean, they were just clowning on the Clippers. And watching that game, and I pretty much watched the entire game, all 48 minutes, and watching the second half of that game, the Clippers just looked like they were gassed. Like they had no energy. They looked tired. They looked disinterested. And, you know, a lot of that's got to go in your stars, obviously, in Kawhi and Paul George. A lot of that's got to go into coaching staff. And, you know, you look at Doc Rivers and Stephen A. Smith made an interesting point, too. You know, you got two guys on that staff that's looking to be head coaches, Sam Cassell and Ty Lue. You know, how much heat do they take, too? I mean, you got an all-star coaching staff, you got an all-star team, and you got a lot of depth on that roster. and they looked out of gas. I mean, they just looked like they did not have it in the second half of that game. Almost wanted to make you wonder if they were point shaving, man, the way Paul George just hit the side of the backboard on the shot.
Come
like,
on, man.
Man, were they ready to go? I mean, did y'all see that? I mean, he hit the side of the backboard on a wide-open three-pointer. I mean, that had to be one of the ugliest shots I've seen. And we're talking about an NBA All-Star here and Paul George. I mean, that was just...
No, I don't want to hear that.
I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating there, but, I mean, come on. As Les Miles would say, you got to have the chest for this. And they didn't have the chest for this, man. They played like
they
soft, like they had titty.
Les Miles.
And, you know, and I mean, that was just crazy, man, to see the way that team just fell apart for three straight games after being in double-digit leads. And I think Doc Rivers is safe at least another year. The only reason I say that is because this was the first year that team was together. And so I think they'll probably give him at least another chance to see what kind of improvements they can make to the roster or see what kind of chemistry they can get to come together there. Another interesting point, I don't usually agree with Colin Cowherd a lot today, but I heard an interesting point he made today was, you know, the interesting thing about Kawhi Leonard, he's never have to be the guy that to bring a team together. You know, he went to San Antonio where he already had Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich. So he just kind of fell into that. And the year before he went to Toronto, Toronto was already a number one seed. So they had already built something there already too. So he was in some really good situations. And now he's coming into a situation where he's the star of the team and he's just not very vocal enough to bring a team together. And so this was a very different situation for him than being with the Spurs and the Raptors, and he couldn't get it done. Awful performance. I mean, 6 of 22 from the field, didn't score a point. He nor Paul George scored a point in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable, man. And, I mean, I don't know how much more we can go on about the epic failure. Like I said, you still got to give Denver a lot of credit. They showed a lot more energy, and the Clippers just did. They looked gassed. They looked out of sync. It looked like they were uninterested, and they just did not show a lot of heart in that game, in my opinion.
I'm going to start with the fact that I'm going to give Denver a lot of love, and I told y'all, and I'm going to keep going back to it. It was about a year, 3 months ago. And I told y'all about Jamal Murray, and y'all told me I was wrong about Jamal Murray.
Nobody said you were wrong.
Yes, you did. I wish I could find the exact episode. Y'all were like, no, he's not that dude yet. And I was like, yes, he is. I told you he was that dude. And I remember Gary and Curtis specifically.
Yep, it was Gary and Curtis.
No, he ain't that dude. And I was like, I'm telling y'all just watch it. He just has elevated his game. He has had a true coming out party in these 2020 playoffs. I don't know if he can repeat that again next year, but that dude has come out and played. I think we all knew about Jokic and his ability to be that point center. But, you know, when you have that kind of athleticism that the Clippers rolled out and they're gearing that team up to be super athletic, to be able to knock out the Lakers and make it to the finals, you're thinking, okay, you know, they're going to have a little problem with the skill level with Jokic and Murray, but, you know, they have the ability to overcome it. And you see them get to multiple double-digit leads and blow them. It is, I mean, like you said, just a catalytic failure on their part to not close that series out up 3-1 when you had two double-digit leads in 5 and 6, and you had about an 8 or 9 point lead in game 7, and you let it slip away. But you got to give Denver a lot of credit. But the thing that stuck out to me, and I won't repeat a whole lot of what Rob said, he knows some really good points, but when you listen to the two different teams post-game in game 7, you listen to Jokic and Murray talk about how good of a team they are, the camaraderie they have, how much they love each other, how much they have each other's back. And, you know, juxtapose that when you listen to the Clippers of, well, it's our first year. We didn't have a whole lot of chemistry. When you hear multiple dudes talk about a lack of chemistry on the ball club that's built to go, in everybody else's eyes, built to go win an NBA title, that is alarming to me. And if I'm Steve Ballmer, I hear what you're saying, Rob, but, you know, Doc Rivers has been there 7 years now, and the Clippers have never in their franchise history been to the Western Conference Finals. And you got that team that you gave away. You got to think about all those draft picks they gave up to get Paul George and acquire those hit services and the swaps they have with OKC. So they don't have any way to say, okay, if this doesn't work, we can tear it down and rebuild it through the draft. They don't have that possibility. They have to kind of ride with this team and kind of augment around Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But when you're still talking about, what, 60-something games in the regular season, then they had their awful bubble experience with Lou, Lemon, Pepper, Will, and Harold not coming back correctly, and Paul George, you know, going through the things he's gone through, talking about his depression and being in the bubble. When you're still talking about a lack of chemistry and trust in a game seven in the semifinals, I just don't understand that, how that happens in that locker room. I don't know what's going on where those guys aren't vibing or clicking and it's not working for them. But that, to me, is more of an indictment going to be on Doc Rivers of how have you, you know, the whole Mobutu thing he had going on with Boston where he, you know, he had them all band together and fighting for one. You're thinking he's bringing that to Los Angeles, and to hear them talk about a lack of cohesion and trust and chemistry in a game seven when you have multiple W's to lead, that to me is the most alarming and the most damning thing about Doc Rivers. I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but they're going to have to switch something up. I don't know if they're going to say those guys that want to be head coaches were too busy worrying about themselves and not doing the assistant coach things like it was supposed to be, or Doc wasn't doing enough to bring those guys together. But that is very, very alarming to hear them talk about a lack of chemistry, you know, this far into this first season.
Well, yeah, very good point.
I watched the game as well, Rob. And what I'm going to piggyback on what you said, you know, with Doc. What I've seen in the past with Doc Rivers is that fire, that intensity, arguing pretty much damn every single foul and call on there, yelling at the referees. And you're always looking at that, and you're always watching, God, is this guy going to get teed up because he's screaming all the damn time? I didn't see that. I didn't see it. I saw him just kind of sitting there watching. A few times he got up and said a few things, but he almost seemed disinterested.
Resigned to the loss.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul George, you know, I think he picked up on a lot of the big mouth talking when he played with Westbrook. And hey, that's just what I'm seeing. And he is, you know, he did his little, and if you're going to dish it out and you're going to, you know, taunt players and you're going to do all that,
you better take it.
You better be ready to take it. And if you're that guy that's battling depression, you might want to just keep your mouth shut because you're in Mexico now. You're drinking tequila. You're having a good time, but you're no longer in the bubble. And it's another year that the Clippers are not in the dance, not even making it. So, you know, and I had them penciled in. And maybe they had themselves penciled in there too. But guess what? You know, you got to play the game. And
they were supposed to win. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the Denver
favorites.
Denver is going to give the Lakers all they can handle. You know, I wouldn't have said that a week ago, 10 days ago. I wouldn't have said it.
They got to stop falling behind three games to one. they were able to pull that off against Utah and the Clippers.
They've done that four times in the last 2 years, and they've won three out of those four series. So that's remarkable to keep your head in the game, even when you're down by double digits. Even, you know, they've been down by 15 or 16 points in this series. You know, and to just keep battling back. And what I think was exposed in this series was the bench. Denver was, you know, just a lot deeper, and they went to a lot more players. And I think that's what's gonna help them in the next series.
Yeah, all season about the Clippers having this deep bench, and they looked exhausted in that game. In that game.
I'll tell you what could break your heart. If your leader is a guy that needs to have load management and can't, I think I'm going a different tack, you guys.
That's true.
Leonard might be a flake. and he's bad. But when you know, one of the things you need to depend on your superstar is dependability.
Yes.
And if he's too sensitive to be that monster, to be the hardest worker on the team, the yellest screamer on the team, the guy that's in everybody's face, instead of, oh, every 10 games I need a day off. Oh, I need this off. I need that off. That's a failure.
Yeah.
And that's a failure
in
trying to
in
get
leadership.
A team to be a champion. Your championship medal, that guy's telling you he's not healthy enough to give you
210%. You think back on your point, he looked like he limped off. You see him after the game, he was going to the back. He was limping. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's really going on with Kawhi, but he definitely was limping. It wasn't a crazy limp, but it wasn't like a regular gait. He was he had a little history against giddy up. So, I mean, that's a good point there.
I mean, just to piggyback on that too, JQ, you said it because you talked about how he was at San Antonio. He didn't have to be the guy because he had, you know, obviously Tony Parker, you talked about that, you know, Tim Duncan. He goes to Toronto. Everything was already there. He didn't have to be that type of, you know, vocal guy. Now you go to the Clippers and you're expected to be the guy. And as you said, Curtis, 100%, we need you there. And that's why I always talk about Jordan being one of the greatest because there was no load manager back in the day. I mean, they played against teams that had won at least 60 games. These were not slouches, but it just shows you the difference in that. And you nailed it around the head, Curtis. I mean, it's tough whenever you don't have someone that's there and be like, yo, I got y'all. Let's go to the finals, and you're not even playing. I mean, so it's hard to actually build up that chemistry, if you will, too. And there's some missing components. And sadly, the Clippers would have been better if they had somebody like Chris Paul, ironically, there to kind of like push them because. You miss that component, having that person that's not going to back down. And it's just kind of the situation where it's kind of missing pieces at different times, man. So the talent is there, but there's that missing piece. Speaking of missing pieces, let's talk about Dame and CJ, how they roast the Clippers. Curtis and Gary, what did you guys think about that?
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was justified. I mean – because they had their fun with the Blazers, you know.
Oh, man.
They talked their trash and had a good time with all that. And, you know, and I just thought it was fantastic. You know, Curtis, what's your take on that? Or have you even heard about that?
I mean, this is stuff we talk about. And, you know, Damian is that guy. Damian is that guy that's going to give you 210%. Damian is that guy that's going to say, hey, you guys,
100%.
Put it on my shoulders. And Damian ain't scared of none of those guys in the NBA. He's not scared of nobody in the NBA. And
he called
so,
them all chumps for changing teams.
No, he's not. And last year when I was talking, talking to JQ,
chumps.
I didn't think Murray could stand up to the Blazer guards. And I'm not sure he still can.
Oh!
Well,
Curtis.
I'll say this about Jamal Murray.
He had his coming out party.
I
don't
think
he
was good last year.
He's
great now. He was good last year.
What more can he do,
Jamal Murray
man?
Is great now. He's moved into that great category. I mean, he's definitely been a top five player in this year's playoffs, hands down. Unbelievable. I'm not sure if I'm ready to see his top five player in the league, but in these playoffs he has been.
No.
But he might be top 10 player-wise as well overall. I mean, he's going to another stratosphere this year. Some of the moves he's had, some of the shots that
nobody could stop him, man. Y'all put different people on him. He couldn't be stopped, man. That's the thing that was crazy.
Paul George
was on him
on one play last night, man, and he just dribbled right around him. I was like, dang, Paul, he's supposed to be the elite defender.
Top five defensive player,
man. You can be an elite defender, but if you have no heart, when it comes right down to it, that's really what I see with Paul George. He just doesn't have the heart. He's got the ability, just doesn't have the heart. It's almost like he wants to care.
He didn't have the chance to play in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
somebody made
PK and Dane. You talk about one dude from Oakland, one dude from the Cleveland area. Them two dudes ain't getting ready to back down. If you keep talking stuff to them, you better deliver because they're gonna come right back for you. These same two dudes from somewhere in the middle of bumfuck America. These are two dudes from Oakland and Cleveland, Ohio, and those dudes are about that life. If you wanna mess with them, fine. If you prepare for the blowback, and I love it. When you're doing all the whole Dame time in the bubble, when you touch your Beverly, you ain't even playing, and you fouling out of games, and Paul George is
out
of the backboard, and he's jumping into it.
God,
oh yeah. They got everything they deserved back from TJ and Dame, and I absolutely sat up and was on Twitter laughing my ass off. LMAO. I was laughing out loud outside by myself, looking at it like that is hilarious. They deserve all of that. I'm glad they gave it back to them. Because you got to think about it. The Clippers went from being so downtrodden to being, oh, they're going to be this team. They're going to be this team. And they got cleared away with that bravado. And there's a lot of people that just didn't care for that. Like, you guys haven't done anything yet. And y'all talking so much trash day in and day out. So when you don't come through and you talk that kind of trash, just delete
your
social media accounts and come back in 2021 next year with a whole new handle. Because you don't even want to see what people are going to be commenting on you on social media. It's over. And so if you're not prepared to handle that, don't say nothing. And I'll prepare to delete those social media handles because that's going to happen for you. Love it, CJ.
Especially when you go back and watch that footage of Patrick Beverly and them laughing at Dame Lillard at the free throw line. I mean, that was... And now for it to come back around on him, it is straight up hilarious. And, I mean, you listen to sports talk radio, sports talk television this morning, everybody was roasting the Clippers. Every single body was roasting the Clippers. Wow.
The Clippers. The Clippers. I'll say this comment before we wrap up. Somebody had a great quote. Everyone wants to graduate, but no one wants to do the work. I mean, you've heard of different things as far, you know, everything you want to do. You want to, like, reap the benefits, but no one wants to do the work, man. So that's just classic, man. So, but Clippers, man, America that you talk about, that's, you know, at least Donald Trump's happy. He's like, they ain't talking to me, they're talking about Clippers, man. So he had a day off, man. That was crazy. Let's talk about.
The people were up by 20 points at some point on the Clippers last night. 20 points.
But I agree with GQ, man. Jamal and Rob, he came out, man. I don't know what else you want, Curtis, man.
Oh,
that dude was balling, man.
Ball,
what else you need from that dude, man. Yeah.
Coming out.
Are you going to be that excited when he does that against the Lakers?
Hell no.
JQ, I love it. Oh, so speaking
you
of,
know what's
like, going to
happen? LeBron's going to check Jamal Murray, and that'll be the end of that.
Okay, all right, we'll see.
Well, give him foul trouble though. I don't think if you're the Lakers, you want LeBron guarding Jamal Murray the whole game. Not at all. Maybe down the stretch.
I think they're not gonna let. I don't think LeBron's gonna let this boy go for 44. I don't think LeBron's gonna let this man mess up their plan.
I mean,
team. They're definitely a team though, man. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah,
I think the more intriguing matchup to me in this series is Anthony Davis against Jokic.
Jokic.
I'm intrigued more about that,
too.
And you know, obviously Anthony Davis is definitely a more athletic big, and so I'm interested to see what kind of impact Jokic will have against Anthony Davis.
But Jokic can pull him out, you know, so he's not going to be down on the blocks blocking shots. So that's going to be an interesting matchup too. So that's you got to say that.
But here's the thing,
though,
Anthony Davis is athletic enough to come out as well.
True.
So that's, you know, it's
that's
what's
going to
be intriguing there.
Yeah,
that is.
He's athletic enough
probably,
to where he can guard small forwards if you have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is probably the issue. How
when did you start calling him Anthony Davis? I remember when you called her. Now you're calling her Anthony Davis,
he's out of his feelings now. We're going to let a whole year go by. He's out of his feelings. He's all right.
He's still a punk, but, you know.
He's not his team. Hey, speaking of like just amazing play, I know I texted, you know, J.Q. Rob about just like, you know, Bam's block on Jason Tatum, man. So I mean, again, I was kind of making jokes because I was saying, you know, he needs some Wheaties, but I don't think he expected him to block that shot, man. He came out of no. You're like, oh, one
watching it live. I thought he was about to flush it. I did not see the block
coming. And he was just like, it was like.
That was ridiculous.
His hand is in the cylinder. Like, how do you not break your wrist
it was
with somebody
like
coming
his,
at you like
yeah.
this? His hand is in the cylinder like this, and he still rejects it. That is amazing.
That's one of the top three playoff blocks that I've seen in my NBA watching days. You got to go to LeBron against the Warriors, obviously, and then you got to go back into 2003 or 2004 with the Tayshaun Prince block too. Those three are probably the biggest that I can recall in NBA playoff history since I've been watching basketball, and that was huge on last night, and won the game practically for the Heat last. Saved them from winning the game. Obviously, if Tatum makes that dunk, we might be going to the second overtime.
I thought the ball and the arm was going in the hole. That's how bad that thing was bent back.
Yeah, that's deflating. Imagine being Boston like,
I thought
that was going to be ugly.
Yeah,
I mean, it looked like it was going to snap.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you, Bam Adebayo, he
reminds me of Ben Wallace with a little bit of offensive game. He's having that kind of an impact when it comes to rebounding on the defensive end for that Miami Heat team. And you know, Ben Wallace, you never saw him score more than 10 points. You know, if you look at the stat sheet, Adebayo, you look up, he's got 17, 19, 20 points, 13 rebounds, 3 or 4 blocks. You know, he's filling up the stat sheet. Still one of Clark Kellogg's line, stat sheet stuffer. And he's turned out to be a really good pickup by the Miami Heat and a great draft pick, getting him like 13th overall with the impact that he's having on that team. So, I mean, going into this season, you say, hey, well, Miami Heat's got Jimmy Butler. They only got one all-star. So, I mean, at best you're looking at a 7-8 seed out of that team. But then out of nowhere – Bam is an all-star. So you get another all-star on that roster. You got Goran Dragic playing borderline like an all-star. And Tyler Hero, man, you don't want to leave that dude over.
Hero. Yeah, don't forget about Hero because he is shooting that shot.
Yeah, and he's another guy that's drafted in the middle of the first round, like 14th overall. So out of nowhere, Pat Riley's put together another solid team for the Miami Heat.
Well, Rob, I have a question for you. How long has it been since you haven't had a 1 or a 2 seed in the conference finals? It's been a long time, hasn't it? You know, like in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Last year, Milwaukee was the number 1 seed, and they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the year before that, I think Toronto was the number 1 seed. No, Toronto didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, Toronto got swept by LeBron and Cleveland. And Toronto was the number 1 seed, and they got swept in the semifinals. So it was just 2 years ago you didn't have a number 1 seed in the East Conference Finals.
Good call, yeah. It's like you got one big domino that fell in the East, and you're expecting that 1-2 matchup in the West, and you had another big domino fall in the West, and you're like, wow, you've had, like, parallel, like, kind of crazy things happen in both conferences. And I know Milwaukee's at home like, please stop talking about us. Appreciate y'all. Talk about the Clippers.
Yeah.
So you stop talking about y'all just leaving.
You got a number 1 seed in
the
Lakers.
The Clippers,
both number 3 seeds made it in Denver and Boston. So none of the number 2 seeds are in these conference finals.
That's why. That's a good call, though, Gary. Yeah, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, we're having so much fun here. What were you saying, Curtis?
I was saying the Clippers did Milwaukee a favor.
We
can get off of Milwaukee now.
That's true.
It's mind-boggling. It's still to go back to the Clippers. Two All-Stars, and neither one of them showed up. Unbelievable. You can see maybe one of them having a bad game, but both of them had a bad game. And, man, they could have – man, the way they were shooting the basketball, they could have built all of us about 10-bedroom homes with those bricks that was throwing up.
And,
yeah.
Man. Oh, man.
Hit the side of the backboard. I just can't believe it.
Robert's on fire. Didn't even touch anything, man.
And a pool house for Johnny Gill. Like, don't forget about the pool house for Johnny Gill. Like, that was bad.
Oh, man. just a quick side note, a quick side note we got to talk about in that Mike D'Antoni, he has stepped down basically saying that, I guess, yeah. And I saw the tweets, man, about James Harden talking about we just want to play her away, man.
That's crazy.
Like,
that dude has not lost.
He said one piece away. He said one player.
I'm sorry. One piece away. My bad.
D'Antoni has multiple people wanting, though. That's what's crazy. That dude has 9 lives. He
my bad.
Cat in him. Like, he's going
they
to
should have never traded Clint Capella.
Dumb.
They should have never traded Clint Capella. They needed that size. And they just, you know, that was a huge mistake by the Houston Rockets, getting rid of Clint Capella.
That's Amore, though. That's not from D'Antoni, though. That's Amore. But D'Antoni has shown that it's only going to go so far. And he gets out ahead of it. Like, I'm going to step down. They didn't want to give you the contract extension. And then you got Indiana being open. You got these other jobs that have come open. And he's going to get his pick of the litter again. This dude here has 9 lives. It's so crazy.
David Griffin. Executive basketball operation in New Orleans Pelicans. I hope you listen to this show tonight. Do not.
Do not
hire Mike D'Antoni. Do not.
I just did a quick tweet to him to say that Mike D'Antoni, that he's actually available. He's ready for that Pelican job, by the way. So we'll see how that plays out, man. So, yeah.
There's actually rumors of them considering D'Antoni. I'm like, come on.
I know.
Do not.
I know, man. We talked about it earlier.
Not
a lot. Hey, one piece away. That was me. I misread that. My bad.
You just fired the same guy in Elvin Gentry. They're the same guy.
Same dude.
Mm-hmm.
Same dude.
Hey, we are going to talk about the Cowboys. Stay tuned for this, man. But before we do that, really quickly, I know, JQ, just Big Ten, this is your point here. It's going to be scheduled in for an October return. He is wearing America. He is OSU. He is, like, representing big time. Got the number one Justin Fields jersey. He got the cup. He's got the hat. He's got the underwear. He's got the whatever, the clock.
Man.
I don't even know what's happening, man. So, JQ, what's going on? What's going on? I know he got the socks, man.
Let's go.
I mean,
we're back. We're back.
I thought I was bad. I'm sitting over here in the Saints jersey, and I got the Saints pajama pants on.
Hey, listen. I got my Ohio State shorts on. Let's go. But in all seriousness, though, if you're Ohio State and you're the Big Ten, and I think this is a lot about the Big Ten looking at Ohio State as a potential entrant into the college football playoff. Not saying that's going to happen, but when you have a team that has that potential to be able to be in it, and you're watching the Sun Belt and the Big 12 and the ACC, and then the SEC is getting ready to start, and you watch the NFL get kicked off and all the excitement about it, and you look at it as a Big Ten, you're like, what did we do? They didn't have a choice. You got the Big Ten parents outside picketing outside the headquarters. Like, they didn't really have a choice. They should have really, and I said it before, they should have just started the season when the SEC started. Start as the last part of September. If something happens, you have to push it back. You're good. But you go lockstep with the SEC, and you just kind of marry yourself to them, given where they are in terms of football, you know, landscape, and you give yourself more of a service. So canceling the season and just having to come back, you still are a little bit of a disservice because you're about 3 weeks behind the SEC. You got to go to 8 games now, and you got to hope that none of the teams get ravaged by COVID because you have no bye weeks now. You have to play every week to stay almost in lockstep with them to have a chance to college football playoffs. But they just didn't really have a choice. I think it was the right decision at this point. It's going to mid-October. I wish it would have been maybe a week sooner, but once you make that decision early on, it's hard to get all the teams back in and get all the stadiums and venues and travel plans locked down. But super excited that the Big Ten is back. I really expect the Pac-12 will be behind them because they have that Rose Bowl alliance. And if you look at a lot over the years, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten do a lot of things in lockstep of the way they vote for things, the way they approach college football, and just college athletics in general. So super, super excited. to be able to get it back. Hopefully we get a handle on the virus and we're able to start the season off. But you can't be sitting at home at Big Ten headquarters and watching all this football being played and not be part of that conversation. It just can't happen.
Yeah.
It's been the laughing stock of college football right now. So they had to jump back into the fray. They really had no choice. So much pressure. The president's calling you. You know, you're getting ticketed and boycotted. You've got to get back into the mix. So just excited to be able to have a chance. And like I said, you know, Robin and Dre, y'all were messing with me. Like, you watch the college football? And I said, nope. And because it's hard to watch it when you don't have a team, you don't have any kind of root interest into it. Like, I love football, don't get me wrong. But when you don't feel like you have a chance to be a part of this conversation, it's hard to get excited about watching it. So if you bring that excitement back to all the states and all that part of the region, just excited to have Big Ten back.
I think what it took for them to see some of these other games being played and see it being done safely, right? And I think that's what it really took. I think that was really a wake-up call for the Big Ten. And even seeing the NFL go through the first week of the regular season, too, I think was key. We can pull this off and we can take some precautionary measures and still play football and still get it done safely. And, you know, I said this before. I think we, as a world, obviously we have to get a vaccine for this, right? There's no doubt about it. We have to get a vaccine for this. But we have to figure out a way to beat this thing. I think we still have to live to beat this thing. I don't think we could still operate our lives in the shell every day. I really do. We still got to take all of the necessary measures. Practice social distance as much as possible. Stay away from large gatherings, washing your hands, wearing your mask, and things of that nature.
Watch your
dad. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything. But I think we have to, but I don't think we need to lock ourselves in with this thing. We have to learn to live with it, but take all the necessary safety and precautionary measures.
Not doing it. I ain't letting your boy on. Hey, really quickly, we're going to talk about a quick recap for the NFL. Again, Rob, I was actually happy that you did watch Georgia Tech and Florida State. Again, I know this is not the forum. I know we don't talk a lot about Georgia Tech because, again, they've been pretty bad. But Jeff Collins is finally starting to get some recruits, and I'm actually excited to see how he's going to get that program in the right place, man. So, Jeff Sims, it's a great pickup.
Easy.
You know,
Florida State is a full-on
dumpster fire. It's
going
to take some time. It's going to take some time.
I have no idea. That dude has shown you nothing in 2 years to say that he should be starting for freaking Fresno State, let alone Florida State. He is a dumpster fire quarterback. I give Georgia Tech. They missed, like, two field goals and a PAT in that game, and they still won. But I love it. Fuck Florida State. I'm rooting for whoever's playing Florida State. So,
that freshman quarterback for Georgia Tech did show some potential. He's got some development to do. Was it Jeff Sims?
Jeff Sims. Yeah, he actually got committed to Florida State, and then because of what happened, he decommitted, and obviously Georgia Tech got him. So, that's kind of what could have been. That's kind of a flip reversal right there too. And Jeff Collins did say, "Hey, we blocked some field goals because he didn't practice it because he felt he actually said, hey, that was my fault because he didn't think that he was trying to keep the players safe. That's why they didn't practice that. So that's he took.
I was mainly watching that game for draft purposes. I wanted to watch Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle from Florida State. So I was really watching his play and just kind of accidentally watched Georgia Tech too. But I was really making. I'm just kidding. But I was really Marvin Wilson was who I was really paying attention to a lot of, you know, just to help me from a draft perspective.
A couple of years, I'm telling you, we're finally getting those. We're gonna have a. He's getting some bigger recruits, and you know, just kind of getting a normal offensive line. Man, that's a guy that's 6'6", 330, playing right tackle. That's what we like to see, man. We haven't had that in a long time. So anyway, I digress
here. Please beat Georgia next year. Please beat Georgia next year. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I'm so waiting for Georgia.
I will root for Georgia Tech all day long every time they play Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
Every November.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Hey, Curtis and Gary, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about the Cowboys. And the reason why I want to bring this up, guys, is because I'm really not going to like bury you guys, because I think that Dak Prescott takes a lot of unnecessary heat, because this actually wasn't his fault. I mean, he made some passes, bad call. If you want to say, I know, for Rob, I know you have a lot to talk about bad calls, but just again, it's just kind of some unfortunate situations, and you can't really blame Dak for everything. It's just one of those things, man. So I know you guys are playing the
Rams.
Calls,
can we get
playing
those
us,
calls?
You know, it's just weird.
Well,
I want to say
that veteran who just got paid, he got paid big money, and he made a big play when he dropped one of the Cowboys on their head the plays before that. I think he did a flop. I did. He did. He was about to get burnt on that last pass down there, and I think he knew he was about to get burnt. And when they was doing that hand fighting, he was smart enough to lean back. Like, it really affected him, that little hand fighting, and he got the call. Some stuff that Laurie does for Vancouver or whatever team, Toronto, you know, he's the best at that in the NBA of getting the call. I think that veteran, I forget his name, I think he pulled the flop and got the call. And, you know, and I you can't hate him for it. It was a smart move on his part, but he got that call. He got that call. And
it was a timely call. You know, and you can't take just that call and say that the reason why they lost is because, although it was a critical time and I thought it was a bad call, but I'll say one against the Cowboys. The Cowboys defense came in and smacked, you know, Gault right into the head and face mask. And there was no call there. And it was change of down. They had to punt away and all that. So in those course of those games, there are those calls. You know, of course I was heartbroken that, you know, that it happened to be that play. I didn't think Dak played a bad game. I thought he played a good game, especially for as much heat as he got from Aaron Donald all day long. So I thought he played good under pressure. I thought Zeke played good under pressure. And what I take away from it is they need offensive line help, and they need, you know, bring in Earl Thomas. I'll take him now. We need him. We need some help in the backfield. Bring in Earl.
So I got one comment about that, and I know you guys are Cowboys fans, but I definitely was watching that game. And part of that I will blame on Mike McCarthy. When they were in the red zone, it was 3rd and 6, and they ran a draw, and they got like 2 yards, because I guess they had already committed to going for it on 4th down. They were down 3 points, and they eschewed going for the field goal to tie the game. They went for the 1st down to try to get in the end zone. And then they threw about the pass short, I think it was to CeeDee Lamb, and Jordan Fuller came up and he racked him, and he had a turnover on downs inside the 10-yard line. That was a huge 2 plays in that game for the Cowboys against the Rams. The Rams, you know, they're not a bad team, you know, and they're trying to rework some of the ways that they're doing it by getting a little younger. But I was looking at that, and I said it, and I heard Chris Collinsworth say, well, everybody's at home saying, why do you make that play call? Because you're going to go for it on 4th down. Well, okay then, but then – you got to at least run to the 6. You can't run that a yard and a half below the 6 on 4th down and get tackled short inside the 10 and come away with no points when you could have kicked the field goal to tie that game. So I'll blame some of that on McCarthy and Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, for those 2 play calls down there in the red zone when you have a chance to go ahead and make a statement in L.A. That right there was a real big swing point in that game for me, watching it just at the end of the bystander, because I was like, why would you run a draw on 3rd and 6. Zeke is having a great game. Don't get me wrong, but on 3rd and 6, when you have Amari Cooper and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, why are you not spreading the field and giving those guys an opportunity? Get the 1st down and then give it to Zeke. Don't get cute and try to catch him off guard with that, where we're going to go for it on 4th down anyway, and then they got caught slipping, and they had a turnover on downs. That was a really big critical series for me in that game when I was watching.
JQ, I will say this on that. This is what we saw the last several years with Jason Garrett. You know, good job, good job. Let's kick the field goal. Let's kick the field goal. Let's not go for the win. Let's kick the field goal and then let the team march down the field and kick a field goal and win. So I'm okay with – I thought the percentages, everything, I would have went for it too on that. They drew up two plays. The one play, of course, they wanted to get 3 or 4 yards out of that. So they only had a couple left so that they could either run or pass. They didn't get that because they were two good defensive plays. But the only thing that I would have done differently on that second play is I would have went to Amari Cooper and not to the rookie. Amari Cooper would have knew where the sticks were. But the problem with that is you know, you've got Aaron Donald in the backfield, you know, breathing down your damn neck, ready to, you know, bite your head off. I'll live with that. Yeah, we're 0-1. 15-1 isn't going to be a bad season.
Wow.
Here's the good news. If you saw the rest of the NFL East teams, there's no way that Dallas should win this division. Holy smoke, is it?
Better watch that Washington football team in first place.
Washington football team, and they look like, you know, but that front seven is something else on that defense with Washington.
Chase Young already playing big.
So, and that's the only thing that looks good in the East right now. But
Ryan Kerrigan, they got a defensive line.
The Giants couldn't defend. I don't think they could defend the Cat. And the Cowboys, I think, got a good wake up call. Stop living on your laurels, Cowboys.
And they got
a
tough one this week against Atlanta at home. I think that's going to be, you know, I don't think Atlanta's a pushover either. So.
Oh, that's a win. Stop that. That's a win. I'm not necessarily.
You know,
Atlanta can be
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They look terrible
until they beat them.
We don't even know. I don't even know what team we're going to show up, honestly.
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
We talk about the New York Giants and how horrible they look. That offensive line looked like, man, they can't even play in high school. And I know the Steelers got a good defensive line, but, man, they could not open any holes for Saquon Barkley. They could not protect the quarterback. They couldn't do diddly-poo offensively. And, I mean, they just could not get it going, man. They just could not block that front seven for the Pittsburgh Steelers for nothing in that game. And just why, I mean, they were just constantly getting the ass whipped.
Ben Roethlisberger outrushed Saquon Barkley in that game.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley had what?
I didn't know
10,
that.
15 carries, and he had like 8 yards.
Yeah, something
like
that.
6 yards.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger had 9. He outrushed Saquon Barkley in that game. But to go back to what you talked about, Gary, I'm not mad at the decision to go for it, which when you're talking about being down in the red zone and not trying to kick the field goal. I just don't like the two play calls. Zeke had some good games, but you talked about it. Aaron Donald was a man. He was manhandling dudes in the middle, and you run it right up the middle at Aaron Donald. And then you run a crossing route a yard and a half below, you know, under the sticks. Like, I just don't understand the two play calls. If you made up on your mind that we're going for this, no matter what, I'm throwing a fourth down, I'm not upset with that as a game plan. But those two play calls were really bad, and you didn't take advantage of what you talked about. You have a veteran in Amari Cooper. You've seen Gallup come up really big for you. CeeDee Lamb should be your third choice out of those three because he's a rookie. Why run it right at Aaron Donald up the middle and then run it to the give it to the rookie on fourth down? To me, those are just bad play calls for Kellen Moore for me. Or a bad decision by Dak Prescott, to go to CeeDee Lamb. And that changed the momentum of the game, and they didn't overcome that. So, I mean, I'm not mad at the decision making. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. I'm not mad at the decision making on it. But the two play calls they went to me, just didn't give themselves a chance as much time as they have on offense. Throw deep at screens. Hit him in the flat. Make the linebacker cover him. Do something and run it up the gut on third and six. And then go to the rookie a yard and a half below the six on fourth down. Those are just bad play calls to me. And I would say that was the Bengals or anybody else. To me, those are just two bad play calls right there when you're trying to make an impression like you're talking about, that we're not going to be the hand clap. We're going to be aggressive. Then be aggressive.
We have 5 minutes left here.
Well, he looked worse than the offensive coordinator, Gary. Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator with the Giants. He looked worse.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. You guys want to talk about comedy. And I watched that game, and I was pulling for that rookie in Cincinnati. And, man, that last drive looked really, really, really good. But I would be there.
Thank you, Curtis.
Holy.
If you could,
holy,
if you could only see JQ's reaction, Curtis.
No. And then the boy has to be carried off the field after he screwed that up, talking about when he had a cramp in his – yeah, boy, woo, damn, I couldn't stop laughing. Holy smokes.
Why do you keep doing this to me? Like, why do you keep doing this to me every week? First of all, that's a bullshit call on A.J. Green on the pass, on offensive pass interference. Gauss was bullshit. A.J. Green was bullshit as well. We all know it. But then to pull a poor calf muscle on a game-time field goal, that is the most Cincinnati way to lose a game that I have ever seen in my life.
Cincinnati
you
way.
Know what? I was so glad.
You live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
Man, listen. I'm glad that my family left. They went to the store. I threw all kinds of shit. I was outside.
Man.
I kicked the deck. I was so mad.
I wanted to cry. But I couldn't stop laughing. God, oh my God!
You're not helping.
That's all right. He always give me with that Marshawn Lynch run.
Ran over everybody on the sideline.
Oh,
ran over that whole state team.
Oh my God!
Marshawn Lynch. He sure did. It caused an earthquake. My God.
I'm about to choke. Hey, look quickly. We
good.
Got 3 minutes.
Hey, Jimmy, I was in a good place, and then you went to that, and now I got to put myself back together. I was in a good place, Curtis.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
Look at that Ohio State Bama area to get you to stop thinking about the Bengals.
I was good. Dude,
come out there.
Oh, God.
Right. Oh God!
We got like 3 minutes. We got to get Rob to get the fantasy shout out, so we got to end the show. We'll probably spend a couple minutes in the OT, but go ahead, Rob.
All right, let me pull up the fantasy shout outs, and then we'll go right to the OT portion. All right, let's pull up the notes here. All right, here are the fantasy shout outs for the week. League number one, yours truly, my team, Death Valley, had the biggest win of the week. 158.70 over Gurley's and Cumps, 89.18. And in first place, Mickey's Ballers. That's Jordan in Orlando with a 1-0 start. League number
with 180
two.
Fucking points. Sorry.
League number two. Aaron in Hartford, Connecticut. Pelly's, he had the biggest win of the week. 142.58 to 99.80. Andre team, playoffs, 1-0 in his
playoffs?
First place.
Playoffs?
And league number two. League number three, the biggest win of the week is Chester in New Orleans. His team, Kraken, had the biggest win, 143.18 over Al's Coalholics, 88.40. Yours truly, my team in first place, Crazy Crew, at 1-0. And league number four, last but not least, Andre, give a shout out to Marcy, the biggest win of the week. Baby got backfield, 135.05 over Birds Flu South, 117.84. And my team, Flash Four, sitting at 1-0 and in first place. And those are the fantasy shout outs for the week. We're going to wrap up our live portion of the show tonight. We're going to go into our OT portion. We still got more to cover. Obviously, some football here still to talk about here in our OT portion. So click on the same link to get the rest of the show for the rest of the week. Next week, we'll be back on Wednesday night. It's going to be Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Good night. I'm trying to figure out how the hell people are getting people that score 90 points. I played in three leagues, and everybody scored at least 120 points in every league that I played against these dudes. Y'all got biggest wins in the week against people with 90 points. That's just nonsense. Anyway, I appreciate y'all for listening to the show. We'll holler at you next week. Curtis got me fired up. Logging off. Good night.
Hey, one league, Andre and I had a shootout. I think I beat him like 208-199.
Close,
man. 89
points. Everybody
put 140
points on me. Y'all get
90
points, people. Get out of here with that.
Hey, I just said, man, Andre and I had a shootout. I beat him 208-199.
That's
close,
one
man.
League.
Close,
everybody
man.
I played gets more than 120 points. Everybody.
JQ was on fire. Oh, I love it. Hey, we got Naj.
Oh, Curtis, you got him fired up about the Bengals and fantasy now.
Oh, man.
Well, did that guy, did the fantasy have a cramp too?
Oh, no. He's talking all the time, man. Yep, all I did call it cramp. Pull the hamstring, pull the whole bicep off the bone. All of it.
Y'all need to get to stretching it out. Somebody need to be stretching it out down there, boy.
God. This is going off. I love it. Oh, my God. This is hilarious.
Stretch and flex.
Stretch
and flex, yeah.
Now she hears.
Yep, I'm talking in Rick Ross ad-libs all day, so I'm going to continue that for the rest of the night. Sorry. What's going on?
How long were you on hold for? You
okay, DJ.
Right? I just picked you up, right?
Yeah, I ain't been here that long. I just listened to the end.
Okay.
So I ain't been here.
Okay,
that
I was
long.
Making sure.
What's going on, y'all?
I wasn't letting somebody on, and I was just I'm just happy I got you in. So I've had enough politics for the day. So I just figured I would just kind of keep it as is, man. So anyway,
yeah.
Welcome aboard, man. We just kind of recapping a pretty awesome first week. We really haven't had a chance to touch base on Cleveland. We talked about how freaking Ben Roethlisberger had more yards than Saquon, and the Giants line is garbage, as we talked about before. But that's kind of where we are right now. We're going to, again, kind of let you guys talk about a couple things. Maybe we got like 10 minutes left in the OT portion, because I was going to talk about the five-star Nathan Brittle picking Oregon here. That's for West Coast. And then, obviously, we have a couple things to talk about. Patriots getting their first win. I know that's Curtis's favorite team. So, again, we're proving that Bill Belichick that we got to do. And, you guys can talk about things. And congrats to Rob and your Saints in beating, Tom Brady. Tom Brady thought he was going to come in there and just do his thing, but the Saints kind of put it on him too. So that's what we're going to talk about in the OT, so we can kind of go a lot of different directions. Nice. I'll let you kind of take that. And, we always feel obligated, always feel obviously awesome to have you on, man. So go ahead.
Look, I mean, it's all good, man. Wherever y'all want to take it, I'm good. Yeah, the Saints thing, I told y'all last week that was going to happen. The old man was going to get beat up. We'd get the media storm saying he's finished, he's terrible, why did he come back? And then they get the easy game against Carolina this week, and then the media cycle goes the other way. Like, y'all know how this goes. The Cowboys game was really upsetting to me and surprising, just because of the simple fact that the Cowboys got physically beat up by a less talented team. Now, again, y'all know I always say Aaron Donald is the best football player, alive right now in this generation. And he was just so dominant. Like, that was surprising to see him just throw around that offensive line like they were children. But the other side of it, where the Rams were just, they're lining up in 12 formation and just running the ball up the middle and just punishing the Cowboys. They couldn't get off the field. So that was a real big surprise for the week. The Jacksonville victory, where they were outgained almost 3 yards to one, with the typical Phillip Rivers trying to come back at the end of a game and turnovers and all that. The Jacksonville victory, that one really shook me. But, yeah, man, it was a surprising week. I think the quality of football was better than what we expected, so I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Hey, you mentioned Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew. I think what he was only had one incompletion the entire game. Very impressive performance by Jacksonville, DJ Shark. They got some, they traded away some really good players, but they got some young defenders on that team that still is pretty good. Kalyvon Chase on from LSU. You know, had a solid game as a rookie. And so they got some players. I was shocked that they won that game, I'll be honest with you. And shocked of the Washington football team, too. Those are the two biggest surprises, in my opinion, this first week.
Yeah, the O-line stuff, though, for Philly is big, though. Like, to be down that many O-linemen, that was big.
Yeah.
But you're right.
There's one more, though, because I know a lot of dudes are doing Suicide League. And, Jacksonville, a lot of people took Indianapolis. And a lot of people took Philadelphia. But the third one is Arizona beating San Francisco in game one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Coming out of the field day party with Kyler Murray. You know how many people got destroyed in the Survivor this first week with those?
That one doesn't surprise me as much as Washington and Jacksonville, I will say. I mean, did I think Arizona would win that game? No, but it doesn't surprise me because I think that going into this year, I see Arizona making that next step. You know, what that next step is, just missing the playoffs or getting in as the number 7 seed.
They're going to make some people in the West.
So that one doesn't surprise me a whole lot. I mean, they've really improved the overall talent of that team in Arizona. And then you get DeAndre Hopkins. What do you have, 14, 15 catches in that game? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that one is not a huge – it's a minor upset, but not a huge upset in my book.
Right. Yeah. Well, the upsetting thing about that to me is how come that coach and GM in Houston is not fired? After I saw Hopkins do what he does, the first thing I thought about was how come you guys aren't firing Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien should be right out the damn door. Really should be.
Baltimore, Kansas City, Minnesota, and they got a tough fourth game that's hard. They've got a built-in excuse for this year already that they're going to give that dude. You got to let that go. That's not happening this year. Maybe next year, for that first month that they gave them, they have a built-in excuse they're going to give for Bill O'Brien to slide. The only reason why I say that
but it's also losing primetime games in bad fashion, which means a lot of people see it, a lot of people talk about it, and that can get you out of there, too. You know, those primetime games, you know, you in Cincinnati, you know, those Thursday night games, like, people's perception of your team can be colored by those primetime games.
Listen,
Cincinnati went through that for a few years.
We're bad enough that I don't have to have y'all beat me up on this call. I understand that, okay? But how many people really went into that game on the opening night with the Kansas City getting their rings at home that thought Houston was going to win that game?
I didn't think they had a shot. Yeah, I can tell you
that.
All 12 of the Houston Texans fans in Houston, they all want Bill O'Brien going, and they've been wanting him going. All 12 of their fans been wanting him fired for the longest.
All 12 of them? That's his dad? That's his mom?
Not 12 of them. But no, for real. The San Francisco thing is,
Gary's kind of quiet.
When you lose games where it looks like you never had a shot, that's the thing that can turn it the other way, man. So, yeah, I can see it, bro.
No, but again, for Gambler and Survivor League, nobody had Arizona. You feel like Arizona is going to make steps as the season progresses. You don't expect Arizona right out the gate to come and smack San Francisco in the mouth in game one from a team that was just minutes away from, you know, a fourth quarter away from being a Super Bowl champion. That's what I'm saying about that one. That's good.
Yeah.
I would give Arizona that ability to, you know, kind of, you know, go up the hill, so to speak, in terms of the season. Like, you know, I'm expecting that from Arizona to get better as the year goes on. There's not what people expect from Arizona to come right out the gate and just hit San Francisco and beat
them. I thought that was the big win.
The 49ers,
really.
All their wide receivers are hurt, and then George Kittle gets hurt in the game. I mean, they had nobody to throw the football to. I mean, they wouldn't sign Mohamed Sanu off the street just today or yesterday. I mean, they had no wide receivers.
Richard
Sherman
just went
to
IR for a calf.
Yeah.
You better get the 49ers now. They're banged up. You better get them now.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, you talked about 12 fans. I thought there were only 9.
So give or take 9-12, Houston, Texas. Everybody in Houston, I'm telling you, in Houston, they either Saints fans or Cowboys fans. But the 12, 9, 10, 11, 12 Texas fans that they have, they all want Bill O'Brien fired.
Not 10, 12.
The scariest thing I seen was if Pete Carroll lets Russell Wilson cook and decides they're not going to run the ball up the middle 50 times during the first half and tell Russell to make magic in the second half, if they let him throw from the beginning, bro, Seattle looks scary, man.
Like, he was impressive. He had one of the best games of the weekend, 31 of 35, four touchdowns. Unbelievable performance by Russell Wilson this past weekend.
Yeah,
Pete
Rob
never
and
let him
Andre
lose like
and,
that.
And two of the fans away took Russell Wilson right from me, knowing I was getting ready to do it because I was already on the Russell Wilson train because I knew you have to open that offense up for them. They don't have the Legion of Boom anymore. You can't just run the ball up the middle and play defense. You got to let Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson. And I felt like this year was going to be the year they would let him do that.
Yeah.
And what you saw against Atlanta, I think, is a precursor of things that's going to come. So that's a great call. I'm really bullish on Seattle if they let Russell Wilson just go and let him be him.
Yeah. They're the favorite to win that division for sure. And DJ Metcalf, you can see his growth. Yeah. Jamal Adams is all over the field on that defense, too.
Yeah,
he was phenomenal.
Fantastic.
In that game. As well, yeah. Great pickup. What school we went to?
Oh, it's going to be a great chess match. Great chess match this week. The Patriots play the Seahawks, which means Jamal Adams is going to stay in the box all night and take away Cam's design runs and his ability to scramble. And they're going to force New England to kind of, you know, get open, Edelman and those guys. So
Seattle's
going to
beat them by at least two touchdowns. Seattle's going to beat the brakes off the Patriots.
If you're the Patriots and you got Gilmore, who do you put Gilmore on all game? Do you put him on Lockett or do you put him on DK Metcalf?
Metcalf probably.
I put him on Lockett. Lockett can do more things.
Yeah,
Metcalf, you know what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I
don't think
I don't
one of the – yeah, I would agree with that too. Lockett is more experienced. Could probably do more with his head and with smarts. But, you know, as far as overall receiving ability, they're probably about equal, but I would agree with that. You put him on a veteran guy.
Yeah. But
Curtis
still,
Gary.
You never know. He probably don't want him following nobody.
Talk about Cincinnati again.
Cincinnati.
JQ turned his head. JQ looked at him like,
You know, I just want to say this.
I can't.
I think Baltimore, I guess Cleveland must have stole something from Baltimore. I don't know if I've seen another team get that A kick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was that a whooping? Jeez.
Yeah,
they must have been
I know
mad.
One team should be an indication.
Foot off the break, man. They just keep rolling. Yeah, that's a weird thing Baltimore does. They don't take their foot off the break. They just keep rolling, but it's risky because it's Lamar out there. So I wonder why they do that. But yeah, they're running up the score on you, man.
Yeah,
they don't care. Cleveland must.
Like, and I know one team should be an indication, but Baker Mayfield does not look like he's gotten any better. I know it's one game, and I know it's against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm curious to watch that game tomorrow night. I will be tuning in to watch Joe Burrow. But I want to see, you know, if Baker Mayfield is the answer for the Browns. And it's starting to look more and more like he's not. And then Odell Beckham is not the same player anymore. And I keep saying that. And, yeah, he went to LSU, you know.
Man,
you know, can't hit on all of them.
With Odell. Ain't nothing wrong with Odell. They're getting a passer that's, I guess you could say, I don't know, competent back there.
I disagree.
Baker is really bad, man. This ain't like regular stuff to where sophomore slump or something like that. This is the third year. He's still running out of clean pockets. He's still throwing off his back foot. He's still not really reading coverage as well. Like, Baker is terrible right now. He's playing – like, this is Jameis and Mark and Mariota's situation from last year. If he doesn't perform by week 8, Cleveland's already thinking about what they're going to do at quarterback next year. And it won't be him.
Dang.
And he's going to be on one of those Jameis Prove-It deals.
What?
I mean, dude, this is the third year.
Yeah.
You can't re-up him. Think about it. Think about how much it would cost to pick up his option in a few years.
Ooh. I agree with your assessment on Baker, but disagree with your assessment on Odell. I don't think Odell has it anymore. We saw it with the tail end of the Giants before he got traded. We're seeing it now. He's not getting open. He's not the same football player as he once was.
Somebody's going to get Odell for a song and then go somewhere else and perform. Oh, my bad.
No, you're right. I'm going to tell you. The Bengals are going to score at least 28 to 30 points tomorrow. They're going to be in trouble.
Odell might be the problem. Baker might think he owes Odell something and trying to force Odell to be something he's not and making himself look like an idiot.
He's not getting the target. If he was forcing the ball to Odell and it was getting picked off or tipped in the air, then we would say, you know, I could agree with that. But Odell's not getting crazy targets. The ball is being spread around. Badly, but being spread around. I just think Baker's not good.
Badly.
He's number one pick.
I
can't believe we're already talking about possibly another quarterback for Cleveland, man. That's just insane to me. Like, literally, this is 3 years, and they're already talking, hey, is Trevor Lawrence the dude? Really? That's where we're going to be at, man?
Think about it.
Already,
how do you re-up that dude? How do you look at what we've seen and say, okay, we're going to re-up him?
No.
Like, what does Baker do? What does Baker do well that you can hang your hat on?
Nothing.
Well, he does some pretty – he might do some pretty good commercials.
See, hey, that's the worst thing, bro. Your agent is supposed to find money for you. His agent did a good job. Found some money for him. It was supposed to be his breakout season last year, but he fell on his face. And then all those commercials out there. So then that really make people look at you shady, like, why you got all those commercials and this how you play? Like, bruh, it is the worst of the worst. It's like Playoff P.
That's good marketing.
Commercial, Playoff P.
That's good marketing. When you can take one of the worst quarterbacks and you can sell it, that's who you want to stick with. Because that guy can, You know what I'm saying? That guy can sell anything.
Hey, Baker did his job.
Right,
but Baker didn't do his
job. He told the Browns.
You're right. All right, gentlemen. We're getting ready to wrap up this another awesome edition. Rob, next week I do want to talk about Aaron because I have a juicy bit of information from him. I want you guys to kind of have that next week too. So, again, just wanted to doing a little teaser here because it actually connects Curtis Gary. It's a guy that works for the Dallas Cowboys that knows a little bit about the Green Bay Packers as well. So I'm kind of tying everything together too. But before we wrap up, I am going to give you guys the opportunity to kind of talk about anything you want to talk about on the topics. I don't know, Curtis Gary, you want to talk about – I know Rob put this at the very, very bottom about your five-star actually coming on to Oregon, if you will, Nathan Biddle, excuse me. But that's on you guys as well, too. But now's the time to talk about these last topics, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. So, Curtis, Gary, I'll start with you guys.
Curtis, what do you got?
I'll go with – I mean, look at Oregon, and look at Phil Knight, and look at what Phil Knight can do for any young guy that is smart enough to come to Oregon. I mean – automatically, you tell Phil Knight, look, if I don't go to pro football, I want to be an executive at Nike World Headquarters. And I'll run your China division for $300,000 a year. If you're smart and you got good parenting, you come to Oregon. Because with Oregon, you got a connection to some money, even if you don't pan out to go to pro and make some money. So I see any kid, I mean, if you got any kind of smarts, you would look at Oregon really tough because there's some connections to be made at Oregon that can set you up for life. No kid surprised me that come to Oregon for that same smart. Or that same idea. Because if you do have some smarts and you do have some good parity, you would come to Oregon.
Well, we had an opportunity to go to Gonzaga, Arizona, UCLA, Oregon, a few others. He came to Oregon, Riddle, the five-star recruit. You know what? He's only 200 pounds. So they've got to, if he wants to get to where he's going to be maybe a potentially down the road a first round pick, he's got to hit that weight room. But I was looking at some highlights, and the guy can hit he's got kind of a weird little shot, but he can hit a mid range shot. He can play back to the basket.
Yeah, he can shoot three pointers. Right? He's got great range on his shot.
Yeah, he does. And he's a great passer. So I think it's exciting for Oregon to get a kid like that. Now we'll see what they do with him. I think it's a decent program. So, I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
what
speaking
about you?
Of college basketball, the NCAA approved it to start this November 25th, about 2 to 3 weeks later than it normally does. But they are going forward with college basketball starting on the November 25th. Hopefully they finish the season this year. We didn't have a real March Madness tournament last year.
Right.
My God.
I'll keep mine brief. I'm going to go off of it because I'm tired of y'all talking about my Bengals. And I already touched on Ohio State. So I'm going to take it to baseball. And I'm not a big fan of the expanded playoffs in a regular 162-game season. I'm a fan of it for this year to drum up the interest when you only have 60 games and you have so much going on with, the COVID and the challenges that baseball's had. I just think you dilute the product with 30 teams and you let 16 of them make the playoffs every year. I just don't think that's good for baseball. I don't think it's good for anybody's pitching rotations. I think you're going to let a whole lot more upsets happen. If that's your goal, then I guess you're going to get it because you're going to wear out your pitching staff by having them pitch that any more series. Maybe one more wild card spot, but to go to 8 is a lot to me from here on out. So I would vote against it. I'm more of a purist. I don't really like the DH or the NL. I like being able to, double switch and bunt and all that old school stuff. I know I'm old and I know I'm a relic and that's okay. I embrace that. I'll take it. I embrace that. But to go to 16 teams for a regular moving forward past the season, I just think it's too much. I think they get caught up in the hype. I think for right now in this environment, it's fantastic. You get more cities involved, like the Reds being in the 8th spot in the National League. But when you go to 162 games, season moving forward, hopefully that's what we go back to. I just think that's too many teams in the playoffs. I really do. Your arms are way too valuable in a rotation to go to that. It's not like shooting a jump shot. You know what I mean? Like you only have so many pitches that you can make go through the rounds you have now. You're not adding more rounds to it. Just not a fan of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it dilutes the regular season.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I guess the one thing I'll cover before we close up, we got one top 25 matchup in college football this weekend, University of Miami at Louisville, ACC matchup here. Just watching these two teams over the last weekend was impressed with the quarterback at Louisville, Mikael Cunningham. So I'm really curious to see how he plays against Miami. A little bit stiffer competition. Played against Western Kentucky last weekend. So I'll be really curious. I'm going to pick Louisville to win a game at home with Cunningham coming through for him. Very mobile, dual-threat quarterback. So I'm really curious to see. I know Miami's, got a Gregory Rousseau, if he was in this game with a top five, top six pick in the draft, he did opt out, so that really hurts Miami. But I'm going to pick Louisville at home in this one.
Thanks.
Miami is my second favorite team. You know I'm going with Miami.
Yeah.
That's why I hate Florida State.
anything to get off of that, man. That's JQ, by the way, too. What's your boy, Oklahoma, was it Rattler? Man, good start for him too, man. You talk about just keeping it going, man. That was
Yeah.
That was good too, by the way. You know, keeping it going like Lincoln Riley, just, you know, keeping the same, just keeping it going,
yep.
man. Get these quarterbacks, man.
I want to see some stiffer competition though, and I don't know if he's gonna get it in the Big 12 anyway, but Missouri State.
Don't worry about it. Wait,
he better have a big game
yeah.
against Missouri State.
Sure.
Hey,
but he's got
the
talent. There's no doubt about it. He has the talent. He looks like Kyler Murray.
They lost
yeah.
three games to the Sun Belt. There will be no stiff competition in the Big 12 for him. When you lose three
hilarious.
Games to the Sun Belt Conference,
yeah.
rack it up.
Hey, Naj, what do you want to say?
Yeah,
Louisiana Stone, though, JQ.
I'm gonna reference that old school little essay. Always a little funny. They made most of us read it freshman year. A Modest Proposal by Robert Swift. If y'all remember this. Robert Swift said, hey, man, we got a problem with poverty. We got a problem with money. How do you solve it? Hey, man, we got all these poor people out here. If we just cooked and ate them, there would be less poor people. It's basically A Modest Proposal by Robert Swift. You can check it out on Google. Like I said, most of us had to read it in high school and was mad about it. But that gets to what I'm talking about with this college football thing, man. This is disgusting. I'm not watching. I can't believe they're putting these kids out there. Here, sign this waiver and get out there. We'll see what happens. We'll check your heart. We'll check your temperature. Maybe you get COVID. Maybe you don't. Who knows? But you got to make that money for these boosters and for the alumni. Get out there and play. Like, this is disgusting, man. That's all I'm saying.
I can't believe you just took it to that.
Okay, so speaking of taking the temperature, when I go to work, I got to take my temperature. I'm a little
right.
older than you guys, right? So I remember when I was sick. And I got temperature the old way, right?
Not the
ale.
Oh,
man. As these guys are walking into the break room, I'm laying on the floor. I got my legs up in the air. And they go, what the hell are you doing? I thought we were taking our temperatures. And these guys are rolling.
Oh, man.
It's over.
These guys were rolling. You know, and all the young guys were grossed out. But all of us older guys, we remember. It was horrible.
Oh, my God.
How do I end that? How do I get off? Hey, you know what I'm going to say?
Play the music.
I'm going to say this.
Play the music.
Yeah, for real. I was going to say.
Play the outro.
Rob knows about this. I was going to say this. Rob, this is the last thing. So we talk about this. I remember whenever Rob was in Atlanta. And Rob referred me to one of his doctors, and I'm like, Rob, bro, this dude was, you know, he told me this out of fact, you know, because it was about that time about for the prostate exam. I'm like, bruh.
No.
Why you got, the dude has some fat fingers. I'm like, Rob, why cock you didn't tell me? He does. Like, I'm like, Rob, why we got to talk about this? So now my new doctor, she's a small Asian lady. She's got really thin, you know, fingers, by the way. So just everything is good.
I'm done.
So that's all I'm
gonna say. Next week.
Wow.
Next week on the show, I'm going to give you guys a play-by-play of my colonoscopy. Go ahead, hit the music.
Rob, go ahead, wrap this.
We're going to keep Gary off the camera next week, Andre.
Yeah, they tell everybody to go get checked. They don't tell you that you're walking into the worst experience of your life. You know what I'm saying? Like that's really important to tell
people. Out of this show, man.
My first one, I tasted the worst thing to get ready for it. I tasted the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life to get ready for my first one. I couldn't do it. Oh, God, that was horrible.
No,
Rob, wrap it up, bro.
No.
We're about to get
cut off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports to the 12, man. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. We've had so much fun. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. We'd love to hear from you all on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to see you on next Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Aloha. Good night, people.
Good night.
Man, y'all are crazy as hell. I am done with y'all for the evening. This was hilarious. I will holler at y'all next weekend. Hopefully y'all got on this show because you got 30 more minutes of some hot craziness. We holler at y'all next week.
Hey, tomorrow morning I'm getting up at 5 a.m. I'm driving 7 hours to Redding, California to buy a 39-foot motor coach.
Gary tells the crew that tomorrow morning he's getting up at 5 and driving to Redding, California to pick up that